convinced, not moved away from that. And I think that's the tenacity. That's the place that, you know, that we have to remain. I'm fully convinced that my God is a big God. Amen. He's a miracle working God. Miracles aren't dried up for the people of God. Amen. They're not dried up for the world. Their healings aren't dry. You know, these things haven't passed away. And so, you know, we believe in the power of God. You know, just even this past week, you know, Erica sharing a testimony of a family member that's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. They've given him weeks and months. I mean, in this week, he's up walking around, cutting bonsai trees. And he woke up on Monday morning after they anointed him with oil, you know, which is a mandate. God gives us these mandates. And got up and said, I want to go eat breakfast. I want to go eat breakfast. It's never over. You know, and for the believer, it's never over. Guys, fully convinced, fully persuaded that the gospel will work for us, and the gospel will work for you. Amen. Us and you, me, everybody. The gospel will work. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Why don't you just grab someone by the hand this morning? Praise God. Pastor Marina, won't you come? I want you to lead us in prayer this morning. Praise God. Fully convinced, aren't we? Yep. Amen.
Ask that person what they might need prayer for this morning. And then attach your faith to it. We're going to believe together.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you so much for that person on our left, that person on our right. Lord, we agree this morning in faith. We thank you for this supernatural thing called faith that you have given us to supersede this natural reality into the faith realm, into the supernatural, Father. You've given us that ability. I pray right now that everything that every person is setting their sights on, putting their eyes upon, Father, you are the helper. You are the one, the author and the finisher of our faith. You're the one that sees things through to completion. So we call those things that are not as though they are this morning. We thank you for healing bodies this morning, restoring hearts. I thank you for mending emotional things. I thank you, Father, that you're restoring relationships. Father, that every person here this morning is well exceeding what they came in and expecting to receive from you. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you love each and every one of us. You desire to see us excel. You desire to see us whole and restored. So we declare that over everybody this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Why don't you greet someone, say hello. Tell them how wonderful they look this morning. Great job, worship team. Good job, girls.
Amen. Good morning, folks. Guess what time it is? Time to give. If you have your Bibles, flip to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. Some of you may know where I'm going. I'm going to be reading a little bit of 4 and a little bit of 5 today. Not the whole chapters, don't worry. All right, 4:32 is where I'm going to be starting here. Verse 32, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Everyone say, anyone among them who lacked. That's our story, amen. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought them to the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And I'm going to say Jose was his also named Barnabas by apostles, which is translated to the son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Five more verses here, 1-5 in chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the proceeds. His wife, also being aware of it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? And you have lied to not only men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Amen. Now, I don't mean to say that story out of scaring you guys into giving, by all means. So don't be terrified. I'm getting somewhere with this. But in this story, it's important to know that the church had no lack. First of all, that's how we should operate as a church, amen? Not one person in the body should have lack, but we should have every possession. We should have land enough to give over and give to the church. That should be our life story. But the most important part here in chapter 5, verse 1-5, with Ananias and Sapphira is these guys, they didn't have their hearts attached to their giving. That is the most important component, because previously, chapter 4, verse 32-37, everyone who gave, they had a heart for it. They wanted to give. They felt encouraged. They felt edified. They wanted to build the church up. But these guys were, Ananias and Sapphira, were just doing it for title, just doing it for looks. They had greed in their heart. They really didn't have their hearts attached to their giving. And they lied not only to man, but to the Holy Spirit. So when we give, it's important to attach our hearts to our giving. Not to give out of obligation, not because it happens every Sunday, not because we're told we're supposed to. It's written in the Bible, it's biblical, so we should do it. No, we should have a hunger for giving, a love for giving, not only to the church, but to people in general. Buying someone's meal at McDonald's, paying for someone in line behind you, paying for someone's groceries. We should have a want to do these things as Christians, people who have a hunger, not only to be a blessing to the house of God, but blessing to those around us. But we have to have our hearts attached to these things, not in a matter of saying to where, you know, I have what I have, I need to do these things, I need to pay my bills, I have all these other things, I got to do all these things. But it says in here, they had one heart and one soul, and all things they had in common. Let the beating heart of the church have all things in common. Have one heart, one soul. And as a body, we are edified and encouraged to give to each other, to give to those in need, to give to the poor, and have a hunger for it. Not just, oh, out of obligation because Pastor Brad says so, Pastor Miranda says so, but have a love for giving. That is what this message means the most to me. Now, I'm not going to say if you don't give with a full heart, you're going to drop dead on the spot. Not saying that, but that's not a scare tactic, trust me. But it is an encouragement to say, don't give with something that you don't attach your heart to. Because when you give, you should want to give. It's an act of worship. It's an act of praise saying, Lord, I lay this at your feet because I want to give to you. I want to be a blessing to the house of God. Lord, I love you so much that I don't want to hold anything back. I want to go beyond 10%. I want to be a blessing to those around me. I want to, one day, I want to give houses. I want to give land away. Amen. Is anyone in that boat with me? Amen. So we have three ways to give this morning. Amen. By check, text, and credit and debit. And if you are paying through envelope, we have our two ushers here to the left and right. Amen. Raise your hand. And we also have envelopes in the back of the seat. And we also have our daily seed here. Now, all that is going straight to the building fund, straight to the property. Amen. We're going to believe God's going to do something great there. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited to see it. We're going to be getting out there soon, you know, building up a church. We're going to make a shining beacon, a lighthouse here in Fairmont. It's going to draw people in. It's going to draw the lost souls in. And we're going to see something great happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. And guess we're good. So, hallelujah. All right. So if everyone has their offerings, raise them to the Lord as an offering of sacrifice. Hallelujah. I'm going to bless it in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, for everything that you're doing. I thank you, Lord, for everyone who has a seed to sow, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, it's not out of obligation, Lord God. It's not out of because they feel like they have to, but Lord, that they want to. They want to be part of something big. They want to be part of something important. Giving into your house, Lord God, sacrificing things that need sacrifice, and having a deep and intimate love for you, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, not only to the house of God, but to those around them, Lord God, to those who are lost in themselves. I thank you, Jesus, that you are building the church up with one heart, one soul, one mind. And I thank you, Lord God, one spirit. And I thank you, Jesus, everything you're doing. Bless those who sow. And I thank you, Lord, that they expect a great harvest. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pick me up, turn me around, place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank you, Master, I thank you, Savior, because you picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank you, Master, I thank you, Savior, because you healed my heart, changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank you, Master, I thank you, Savior. Oh, I thank God. Thank God. Hey, come on. Get up out of that grave. Get up out of that grave. Get up out of that grave. Team, get up out of that grave. Hey, get up out of that grave. Get up, oh, get up out of that grave. Get up out of that grave. Because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, your phone, your apps, whatever, let's go to John chapter 15. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. John 15, verse 9. John 15, verse 9. One of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. I love John 15. I like John 15. Praise God. John 15, verse 9. John 15, verse 9. We're going to pick up there. And it says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy remain in you and that your joy may be full. That's a lot right there. Praise God. This is my commandment, that you love one another. And as I have loved you, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Father, for, Lord, just the faith around this word. I thank you, Father, for everything Jesus has done. He's our heavenly Father. He's a good Father. He's a great Father, Lord. I pray, God, even out of this word today, Father, that, you know, Lord, as we look at this, as we examine, as as
as we get into your word, Father, I thank you that, Lord, that we're moving into a place where that our fruit would remain, Father. That Lord, you know, everywhere we go, our fruit would remain. Father, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, and give us a heart to receive. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. You know, I'm not shifting gears because I know one of the things that I've really felt pressed, and I've been studying for several weeks now, just around becoming a stronger Christian. And I'm kind of wrapping into a series. I've probably preached 5 or 6 messages now around it, and I'm not really moving away from it. But I feel one of the things that the Lord is quickening me to study, to teach, and to preach around is fruitfulness. Amen. And I've spent some time yesterday reading and studying the Word, and I just, you know, and it's probably for me, I feel like one of the greatest challenges as a Christian and even as a pastor is to be fruitful. Amen. And to be fruitful in things that I get, things that I do for the Lord, that I would be fruitful. Amen. And so I'm going to jump into some things today, but I just, even as I wasn't even going to preach all this text, but it was kind of hard because it all flows together for me. I love the fact that, you know, that Jesus is saying that, you know, abide in me, that we can come and we can abide in our Heavenly Father. And there's just so much, there's so much meat here, there's so much that you can take away. And but you know, I think sometimes is, you know, in our Christian ease, we talk about fruit, right? You hear Christians talk about being fruitful, or you the fruits of the Spirit, and you know, we talk about that, but I think sometimes is, you know, let's look at and let's get into how we bear fruit. Amen. And that our fruit would remain. Praise God. So that's what I'm going to jump into, not shifting gears away from, you know, becoming a stronger Christian, because amen. Does anybody want to bear fruit in the house? Yeah. Amen. And that your fruit would remain. Amen. That's what Jesus is saying. So it's important that we bear fruit, that we be fruit bearing Christians, but that our fruit would remain. And that those are the words of Jesus. So you know, just in this text, I want you to see this, because if you don't know this, you'll see it right here. Jesus really cared about his disciples. He cared about his disciples, and you can see it by, you know, this. I'm telling you, there's so much passion about what Jesus is saying, but he truly cared about his disciples, but he also cared about them loving one another. Man, that's a mouthful right there. He cared about them loving one another. Not that he just loved them, but that they would love each other. That they would be, they could replicate, they could look like Jesus, they could be like Jesus if they love one another. Amen. And that's a part of the abiding, because I think sometimes that when we think about being a Christian, it's like, do I have to love everybody? Yeah, you know, because everybody's like, really? Do I? You know, we're to exemplify Christ, amen. That everything that's in us, you know. Now you say, well, do I? You know, some people that gossip about me or talk about me, do I have to love them? Yes. You know, you're in a place where you know, love does what? Love covers a multitude of sin. Amen. So we see the very. Did Christ go to the cross for you? Did he go to the cross for every sin? Yeah, he did. Right. That's good news. It's good news for every one of us. Amen. So maybe that one person, maybe you're like, I don't know how to love this person. Guess what? He went to the cross for them too. Amen. Praise God. Just a quick snippet out of this, but you know, I won't remember that even second service, but it's so important that you understand to be a disciple of Christ, we have to love like Christ. The same pattern that he uses is the same pattern that he's showing us, he's showing the disciples. It's the same pattern that you love. Love, 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 love. And there's so much meat here. The same pattern he used, we should use. You know, I love it that Christ, even in the context of this, I'm going to move pretty quickly. You know, he's getting ready to exemplify himself before others. And this is a type of love where he's saying, you know, he said, you know, to lay one's life down for another. You know, and what is Christ getting ready to do? They don't comprehend, they don't understand, but he's getting ready to lay his life down. That's how you'll know whether or not you're a friend. You know how he called them friends. You know, one of the reasons why he called them friends was because what he heard from the Father, he put into them. Because see, Christ had relation, God the Father. He reported and he gave the things that he heard the Father say. But you know what a friend does? Things that friends do. They love one another. They share. There's a bond. Amen. You know, a friend doesn't keep secrets. Jesus, everything that I hear from my Father, I'm going to give to you. Amen. And that's so awesome. Everything that I hear from my Father, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to impart into you everything that I'm giving from the Heavenly Father. That's good news. That's such good news. Take your Bibles real quick because I want you to see this. It's actually, I believe it's in 1 Peter. Yeah, 1 Peter. Just flip over there real quick because see, everything that he's done, everything he's positioned himself for and to give to the disciples, he now gives to each and every one of us. Man, that's good news. That's good news that I don't have to miss out on the promises of God. I don't have to miss out on the things of God. 1 Peter 2:9, because this is what the Bible says about us now. You know, after the resurrection, after the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. He calls you special. You're special to the, you know, I'm special. Maybe you never felt special, but if you're a Christian, you know what you are to the Lord. You're laughing at me, Miranda. You're special. You stand out. You stand out for the Lord. You're a special person that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness and into marvelous light. Anybody been called out of darkness? Praise God. Amen. And brought into the light. Is light better? Amen. It's so much better. Amen. You know, sometimes people want to pull you back and remind you of, well, you know, remember when we were, you know, for you as a Christian, you know, it's like, no, that was a dark place. You know, but some people still want to remain in a dark place. What kind of fruit are they bearing if they remain in a dark place? Dark fruit or no fruit. Amen. You know, that your fruit would remain. And that's what Jesus is talking about. But he's taken you out of darkness and brought you into light. Man, that's good news. What a benefit we have that I'm in the light, that Jesus, he is the light in me. He shines through me, amen. Called out of darkness and into marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people. We weren't a people, but now we're the people of God. I was apart from him. I can't imagine being apart from him now. We are his people who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We didn't obtain mercy, but now we have mercy because we're in him. 1 Peter 2:9. I love that scripture as well. You know, and just out of just one little last thing here. How do we know that he loved us? You know, he opened and he revealed what he heard from the Father. And I know I said that already. So he was able to call us friends because there was a closeness. And just keep this in mind. Friends don't keep secrets. Friends don't keep secrets. They confide. They love. They don't keep secrets. They're not hiding it. We don't have to hide things. Amen? That we're brought into marvelous light. Amen. Amen. John 15:16. You know, and I love this because it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you. He's a friend. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, like you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Man, can I tell you something? Catch this. It's a privilege to be chosen. It's a privilege. I mean, honestly, it's a privilege. It's not something that we should, oh, you know, I'm a Christian. No, I'm a Christian. It's a privilege that he chose me. That, you know, one night sitting on a hillside as I pleaded with God and I'm waiting for something to happen. He, you know, and later when I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, he was choosing me. But see, in that, understand something about the choosing, because he chose me and he appointed me that I would go. That's what the Bible says here, that I would go. Go is a word of action, that I would go, that I would be chosen, I would be appointed to do what? To go and bear fruit. Now, I mean, you think, wow, that's the Great Commission, right? But see, this is for every believer, that he chose me, he appointed me to go, to where? What's the Bible say? To the ends of the earth. You know, in this time, and Jesus says to the ends of earth, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now we practically see the ends of the earth. There's no place we can't see. We can pull up Google Maps and we can see any part of the world that we want to see. There's people on the moon. You know, there's we can see people on the moon now. It's bizarre. But to the ends of the earth, go, that your fruit should remain. I tell you, it's really revelatory. It's revelatory in the sense that he chose me. If you catch that today, he chose me. He picked me out of a lineup, so to speak, right? Because, you know, I don't know. You guys understand, you know, like Brian was a police officer. And I'm sure he's had people get in a lineup before. And you know, and he's the one that did it, you know. And you know, we're gonna choose him out of a lineup. But that's what he did with me. He chose me out of a lineup. He picked me out. He picked me up. Amen? He turned me around. He appointed me. He appointed you. He chose you. You're chosen by God. Shouldn't that put a different spin on how we view our relationship with him? Because see, what I see now, even in the context of this scripture, it's a privilege to be chosen. It's an honor to be chosen. Chosen to be a child of God. That you get to spend an eternity with him. Yeah, this past week, I think it was maybe Brian and I were talking. I think it was, you know, I'm not old. I don't consider myself to be old. But, you know, in the passing of Miranda's grandpa, 93, is that right? 93 years old. Praise God. Praise God, 93. And has lived a healthy life. I mean, it's not like he's battled things for the last 10 years, 5 years, or even a year, really. It's not been like that. You know, just in the last few months, there's been a deterioration of his body. But, you know, as you begin to age and you get older, you begin to think about heaven a lot more. I don't know if that's anybody in here, but I do. I begin to think about an eternity, what it's going to be like. I'm not checking out, you know. I believe I got another good 50 years. Amen. But you begin to thinking about, man, what's heaven going to be like? That he appointed me and he chose me to play a part here, but to be here, to be there with him. That's really pretty cool. I don't know. You know, the word "go" is really a word of action, but it's a principle. It's a principle. You know what? You know, how do you mean? How do you mean so? Or what do you mean by it being a principle? You know, the word "go," as we see it in the context here, is the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what he's commissioned the church. That's what he was commissioning his disciples to do, was to go and bear fruit. Praise God. Well, I'm going to give you a few things today out of this context, because out of the context of this passage, because it's that our fruit would remain. And that was the one thing that I, as I was studying yesterday, and I thought, man, you know where I've been and the things God's used me in, you know, has my fruit remained? Was there fruit that was, you know, did it all dry up? Did it die? Did it, you know, So I want us to become mindful as we think about what it means to thrive. You know, even throughout the rest of this year, it's that you know, we become fruit-bearing Christians, amen, and that our fruit remain. That, you know, please understand to realize that each and every one of us can have a great impact on others that are around us. That you can impart things. That you ever get hungry for the more of God? You ever just get hungry for the more of God? I remember a time when Miranda broke into King's Cathedral. I like to tell the story that way. It's a better story like that. But we were in Maui and we had been in conference I think it was Dr. Rodney was doing staff training there, and she said, "I'm going to that meeting." And I was like, "You're not staff. You can't go. You're not going to be allowed to go. That's dumb, Miranda." I think those were my exact words. "That's dumb. Why would you even do that? You know, your mom's here. You're visiting. I'm going to go to that meeting." And because, you know what hunger does? It will position you for another level. And, you know, and I'm just saying, Miranda, that's silly. They're going to kick you out of that meeting. And so here's Miranda, and I told the story in front of the whole staff about 6 months ago. Pastor Josh just looked at me and said, "She did what?" And I said, "Yeah, she broke into your meeting." And now we're staff, praise God. And but she got hungry. But see, when you have a mentality that God has appointed me, he's asking of me to go. You know, we've got to keep ourselves stirred up. We've got to keep, to remain a fruit-bearing Christian. You know, one of the things that, and I realized that even at the time, I didn't understand it, because for me it was, you're breaking a rule. But for her it was about hunger. Because she needed the more. She needed the more. And, you know, how do I become more productive? How do I become a stronger Christian? That's the thing. If you're going to become stronger in the Lord, there's something in you that you have to begin to get hungry for the things of God. Just a ho-hum attitude's not, I'm telling you, that's not going to work right now. It's not going to work in America. It's not going to work in any country. You know, I talked to Brother Nate this week, and Nate Pimentel, he's going to be with us in November. You know, and he said, you know, he was in India. And he said, Cuba, India. He started telling me about places he had been this year. And he said how people in nations are getting hungry, hungry, hungry for the miracle working power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, you know, that's the thing. You've got to position yourself. If you're going to be fruit bearing, you've got to get appointed, and you've got to get anointed. Amen. You already appointed. Amen. But you've got to get anointed, and you got to get around things. You know, and I realized even at the time when Miranda went to that meeting, it was the fact that she was hungry for the anointing. She was hungry for the anointing. Dr. Rodney had laid hands on us that night, the previous night, and she was like, "I'm going to that meeting the next day." I'm like, "I'm not breaking rules." You know, that's where I stayed, went to the pool. She went to the meeting. She came back. "How was the meeting?" She said it was really good. I'm like, "They let you in?" I was really surprised. She goes into the meeting. They're like, "Whose extension you with?" I'm with Hannah. You know, the Hannah pastor wasn't there, so she had a good cover, I reckon. But listen, you've got a desire, and it's maybe really my last point that I had that I was going to cover. You have to desire to get in it. You have to desire to go after things. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. Why do we come together and meet? Why do we do men's meetings? Why do we do women's meetings? Why do we do? Because iron sharpens iron. Because you know that nobody gets left behind. Amen. Iron sharpens iron. Are you stronger when you're with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Absolutely. You're stronger. You're not weaker. And the enemy, that's always his ploy and plan, just to pick you off one by one, for you to feel like you have to make a decision all by yourself. That's not the case. That's not the case. So, you know, to get hungry, man, I tell you, get around people that will fuel your hunger, amen. But get around people that are going to sharpen you, praise God. You know, us as pastors, I mean, you know, I know. It's, you know, I'll share this real quick, but, you know, Lee Howell Mara stopped by the house yesterday. Just to drop off food real quick, and they were there for 5 or 7 minutes. But you know what it did for my wife and I? It sharpened us. I mean, you know, it's things like that, that that we have the ability to be able to do for one another. Sharpen one another. You know, they didn't call, we're coming, but, you know, they just stopped by. I was outside on a phone call. I think I was talking with Brother Nate, and Leah was like, "You're working?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm working." Saturday, you're working, right? But you know, it's just the sharpening. Did we get into a spiritual conversation? No, we laughed. We talked about food. We loved one another. They come and give us big hugs and praying for the family. Praise God. And, you know, pouring down rain, they jumped back in their truck and left. You know, but see, that's what the body of Christ is called to do, is to sharpen one another. These things are so important, so, so important in the body of Christ. I don't know how I'm getting everywhere I'm going here yet today, but praise God. Every believer should aim to be fruitful, okay? Point one, every Christian should aim to be fruitful. You know, this is why Christ saved us, you know, so that God would be glorified. He would be glorified as we bear much fruit, amen, that we would bear much fruit. Colossians 1:10, take your Bibles, go there. That really wasn't one. If you're taking notes, I'm going to give you four, maybe five, and I'll be pretty quick with these, and kind of probably talk a little more about them in the second service. We should call first service second service and second service first service. I don't know, just to mess with people. I don't know. Colossians 1:10. And this is another great passage, Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let me read that again. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In the knowledge of God. So, number one, to be fruitful. To be fruitful, and I don't want you guys to freak out when I say these things, but to be fruitful, you have to have goals. Simple. You think, oh, he's talking about goals, and I'm not doing flow charts or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not blowing up the PowerPoint and doing five goals and, you know, mapping out. I'm not talking about that, because I think sometimes we think when we hear the word goals, we think, oh, you know, pastors are going to talk about goals, and we're going to do all this goal setting. I'm not talking about that, because a lot of times people they get lost in not having something in front of them that they can see, that a roadmap. This is where I'm going. This is where I'm headed. If you're going to become fruitful in life, you have to have a map. You can't just. You can go through life just, you can float like that. You can do that. I'm not telling you that you can't do it. You can be saved and you can be a Christian. But what I'm talking about is that you become more fruitful. Amen. That if you don't have goals, you don't have things that are in front of you, you it's going to be hard for you to be very fruitful. Very fruitful. Amen. A lot fruitful. You know, much fruit, to bear much fruit. It's going to be hard because you know, you're going to be like, who needs goals? Well, why do I need to plan? Who needs goals? So please understand. You know, Paul said in Philippians 3. You guys want to go there? You can go there real quick. Philippians 3 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, reaching forward to these things which are ahead." So see, Paul had goals. He I haven't apprehended it. I haven't comprehended or even apprehended it. But you know, Paul had goals that I'm reaching towards the prize. I'm running towards the prize. That if we're going to be fruitful in 2024, 2025, I believe through 2030, that if we're going to be fruitful, man, there's a focus that we have to move into. There's a place that we have to move into of saying, you know, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for the Lord. See, that we would bear fruit. You're doing it for Him. You would bear fruit for Him. We would bear fruit for the kingdom of God. You know, some people say, well, Pastor, I've never done a life group. I've never taught. You don't have to be a teacher. You can be an assistant. You can be the person that calls everybody for a life group. Some people are really great at that. They're great gatherers. Find out on your team who's a gatherer. If you're not a gatherer, make it a goal to find out on your team who can advance this team. Who's the one that can help me go higher? Who's the one here that you know, because see, even around leadership, leadership is not about you leading, but it's enabling and empowering others to do more for God. Amen. That's ultimately what Jesus was doing with his disciples. He didn't have just one leader. He didn't have just one disciple. He had 12. And, you know, and then when we go to the place of the upper room, there were 120. Could have been many, many more. 120 plus women and children. That they would be empowered, of course, by the Holy Spirit. And, I'm not sitting here thinking that they mapped out everything out on the day of Pentecost and they had goal mapping on the wall and you're going to go here and you're going to go here. They were led by the Holy Spirit. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. You have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. But can I tell you that you even need goals around that from hearing from God? Mapping your own life and having goals. What's your goals this week? You know, I say it many times. And what's your prayer goals this week? Because that's the strength. You know, our senior pastor tells us all the time, that's the strength of the church. So it'll be nothing that we're always trying to get people to understand that this is how we get to where we're going. That our fruit would remain. Amen. Dr. Morocco has fruit that's remained. It's visible. You see it. It's, you know, it's now spread out around the world. You know, you think about, you know, when you get onto on another side, you know, like Dallas. Take Dallas for an example. You know, when he went to Dallas, there were 32 people. Now there's close to 400. 5 extensions. He sowed $1 million into that project. And last week, $1.3 million came in to pay off the property. That's fruit. That your fruit would remain. But that's also faith. His faith. But you know, we've all asked, Doctor, why are you here? Why did you, you know... You know, you could do anything. You know, you don't. You didn't. You know, because he even said, he made a comment one hour, I think it was in staff training. He said, "I miss Maui, I miss my home, I miss people, but I've got to obey God, that I would bear much fruit." That, you know, in the latter years of his life, that he would choose to come to Dallas. No offense. I mean, it's the second, third largest city in the world. I'm not against Dallas, but you would have to honestly, I believe, be called to Dallas. You would have to be called to an area like that. But honestly, you look at what's happened in Dallas since doctors moved there. 2 major ministries have fallen just in the Dallas Metroplex area. One church over 100,000, and I think the other one's right around 40 or 50,000. Those moral failures. Those churches have fallen. And you know, Revival Today has a church there. KC has a church there. God's, that's why, listen guys, that's why, like, we should never be moved by tactics of the enemy to destroy or to try to destroy the church. The church, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. As long as the church remains. As long as we're here. You know, and you'll see that in Scripture. That you know, and we have an important role to play, praise God. Praise God. Become fruitful by having spiritual goals. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart in your goals. Go back and revisit those things. Go back and revisit those things. Number two, don't you know, and I said this last week, you know, to be fruitful, we can't allow the riches of the world to quench our fruitfulness. You can't allow the tactics of the world to quench your fruitfulness. Because it's very easy to be enticed away from the things of God. You know, how many times, you know, Pastor Moran and I over the years, 14 or 15 years, we've ministered and we've prayed for people to get jobs. And, you know, a week later, people will come in and say, you know, I got hired. You know, good job, good paying job, but, you know, it's on Wednesdays, it's on Sundays. And, you know, I know we got life group on Tuesday, but those are the days that I have to work. And jobs are important, right? So I'm not downplaying jobs. But time and time and time again, I've seen those things happen. So we have to guard. We have to, you know, and I know that it's one of those comments that can easily be like, well, you know, I'm supposed to work. You know, I'm given to the kingdom. But you know, please understand, anything that pulls you away from the iron sharpening iron, the coming together, the assembling together, that's what the Bible says. You know, and I've always, you know, I've told people, well, you can't be there Sunday morning. Be there Sunday night. Be there Wednesday. Yeah, I'll do that. But what happens is the deceitfulness, the cares of the word. Mark 4, we talked about that last week. The things that come in and choke out. They choke out the word. You know, I think it was Bishop Dagg. I was reading one of his books, and he was talking about some of his friends that were very wealthy and that had at one point served God when they were younger. And then they moved into the realm of business and become very successful, you know, multimillionaires. And you know, he went back to him and said, you know, guys, you've left your first love. You're now placing business over God. And one of his friends, it was a friend, he said, you know, well, I still have time. See, that's a mistake that we can move into the I'm going to make a bunch of money and then I'll come back and serve God. It's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. Don't allow the riches of the world to quench your fruitfulness, because you have to be mindful that there's a world coming to the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So anything sent on assignment that deals with those three things, you know it's from the enemy. To take away from you, to steal from you, to kill, to bring a bad report, to destroy you, to take things away from you. That's from the enemy. So you understand that, okay, how do I fight the enemy? Well, I fight him in prayer. I fight him with believers, right? I get Jesus on my side, praise God. You know, never let it's good to be successful. Hear what I'm saying. I'm all for you being successful, but never let success pull you out of the things of God. You know, remember Deuteronomy 8:18, for I am the Lord God who gives you the power to create wealth. He's the one that does it. So, you know, if he gives you a good idea and it takes you away from the things of God, well, you need to evaluate, because he's the one that gives us the ability to get it. Amen? He gives us the ability to create wealth. So never let the cares of the world, kill your fruitfulness. And I got to tell you, it's one of the things, even as pastors, you have to guard that. You have to guard against those things to be fruit-bearing. Amen? You know, number three, you can't be lazy and be fruitful. You can't be lazy and be fruitful. In Proverbs 22:13, and I'm not looking at lazy people here, and I don't feel like we're in a church of lazy people, but, in Proverbs 22, verse 13, it says, the lazy man says, there is a lion outside, I shall be slain in the street. And I love that scripture because see, so what the sluggard or what the lazy man does says, well, there's a lion out in the street, I'm going to stay inside. You know, because they operate in a place of fear. They operate in a place, I'm not going to go do anything. I'm not going to go do anything. A lot of times, even through becoming lazy, what it can do is it can create fear. You know, I know people, and I've had family members, and it's, you know, it's sad. It breaks my heart that haven't left their home in a long time. They're afraid. What are you afraid of? Well, you know, the world. You know, it's bad out there. You know, there's sickness and disease. There's all this stuff. There's this. There's that. Well, who wins in that? The enemy wins in that. The enemy wins in that. Then what happens to you is that, you know, and I don't want to, because lazy is one of those words. It's like, well, you don't like to use that word. But when you're not producing, you become lazy. And you know, can I be honest with you? You won't bear fruit. You won't bear fruit when you become lazy. What happens when you have a tree that's bad? What do you got to do with it? A lazy tree. What do you got to do with a lazy tree? Cut it off, right? You're a gardener, right? I've got a tree in my yard right now Miranda's praying over. It's a lazy tree. I would say it's a lazy tree. I think it's a dead tree. And I've got to take my mower around this stick that's in the yard about like this. It's got no blooms on it, got nothing. And she goes out and she speaks to it and tells it to live. And I'm taking my mower, my 60-inch mower, around a tree sapling that's about that big in the yard. And it messes up my path. I don't know if anybody understands what I'm talking about as a guy. It messes up your path as mowing. Like my straight line, now I got to make a circle. Makes the yard look bad. I don't like that. I know you think that's something, but... but it's dead. So when things are dead, what do? You get rid of them. You throw them into the fire. You burn them up. Mow them over. Zephon did it. That's what I'll say. But to be fruitful, you can't be lazy. You have to be productive. Go back to have spiritual goals. Have work goals. Have those things, Brother John getting ready to retire, you know, thinking about next steps, because I know he's not a lazy guy. He looked at me the other day, he said, you know, would you quit praying for me jobs, side jobs? Would you just quit praying for me? Because he came to me, he said, you know, I'm thinking about retiring and, I'm going to retire. And I think he's not retired now because of me, because I said, you know, Brother John, I said, God's going to bless you to do what you want to do. But I believe he's going to prosper you doing what you want to do. And so now he gets, and he's a very generous guy. He needs to up his prices, praise Jesus. He's a very generous guy. But he came to me the other day and said, Pastor, just quit praying about jobs and, you know, in the house. Because he said, I've got too many right now. But, you know, what he can do is he can reach out to some of these younger people, some of these young guys, and teach them fruit, that we would bear much fruit. Amen? You know, because he's got a skill set. He can show people how to do things, praise God. You see how the kingdom works? You see how kingdom things can, that we wouldn't be lazy, that people would be active, be fruit-bearing. Amen? You can't be lazy and be a fruit-bearing Christian. Okay? So don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Have spiritual goals. Set your faith. From the head down, that's how it comes down. How many people you got in prayer this week? You know I rejoice when I can tell people we had 25 people in prayer and we're beating every extension across the United States in prayer? Yeah, I think that's cool. I'm a little competitive, right? Bearing fruit, praise Jesus. Now, how many did you have this week? Five, guys, set goals. Set spiritual goals. Have a mindset that this is what I'm going to do. The other day, I honestly, Saturday morning, because I had already had stuff going on Saturday morning, Miranda's family getting things figured out. I told Brother Don, because we're kind of staggering the prayer call on Saturday, I said, I'll run the prayer call Saturday. And I was thinking, before I ever got on, going into the prayer meeting, I was like, I think I just go 30 minutes today. You know, I got stuff going on. That's in the back of my head. I didn't even look at the clock. We just began to pray, and then when I got off, it was 8:55. Because what happens is you move into that place or that realm, and it happens in our prayer meetings sometimes. Sometimes we go 8:40, 8:55. It doesn't have to be that. People have to work. We get it. So, but don't be lazy, because if you're lazy, you're never going to be fruitful. You're never going to be fruitful. Amen. Number four, to be fruitful, you have to be committed. Deep commitment is necessary if you want to be fruitful. Okay, guys, that's in anything. You have to be committed. You have to be a committed person. If you're not committed, it's just take your work, not church, but let's take your, if you're not committed in your work, does your boss know it? Absolutely. Your boss knows the level of commitment you have. Do you show up early? Do you show up late? Do you come in with a smile? Do you come in just another day in paradise, you know. Living a dream. You know, I hate that. I do. I hate that. Shut up. Shut up. You know, I hate just living the dream. You know, apathetic people. Because even you know, when I hear that being said, I always think you're a lazy person. That's the first thing I think of. Because you don't want to work. You're a lazy person because you don't want to work. Living the dream. You're probably getting paid for 8 hours. You'd probably be lucky if you work three. Because that's the first thing I think of. I come from a working family. My wife did too. We come from people that work. We're not lazy. So you know. So it's your commitment is important. If you're going to bear fruit in anything you do, your commitment is necessary. Your commitment, your time is necessary. You know, a doctor preaches on this. Your time, your talent, and your treasures. Those are those three areas. You know, God wants your time. You know, He wants your resources, and He wants your talents. He wants what's inside of you to come out so that you can be fruitful. Amen. So that you would bear what? Much fruit, the Bible says. Not a little bit of fruit. Man, that's the greatest goal for me as a pastor, is to bear much fruit. That, you know, 50, 75 years ago, it's not that my name is highlighted in this church. It's that this church is strong, vibrant. There's other church plants. Who founded this? I don't know. It's Dr. Morocco, James Morocco from Maui. And it's that the work of the Lord's going on. Amen? It's that it continues, praise God. Being fruitful, being committed. Let me say that deep commitment is necessary. If you want to bear much fruit, a lot of fruit, deep commitment is necessary. Shallow commitment, yeah. Maybe I'll be there. Maybe I won't be there. That's not deep commitment. You think Jesus was ministering to committed disciples? I believe they were. You know, there was one that betrayed him, but I believe they were committed. They were deeply committed to him. You know, he was their friend, the Bible says. So it's important that we're committed to the cause of Christ. Go and bear much fruit. Go and bear much fruit. Praise God. I want to go ahead and close. I got a few. Let me give you one more point. Can I give you one more? You know, I've talked a lot about this. To bear fruit, you've got to be around the right people. You got to be around the right things. You've got to. You know, it's like what Pastor Miranda, what I said earlier. You've got to get hungry. You've got to, you know, if you want to grow in an area in your life, you know, if Lavakul wants to be in the NFL one day, he's going to have to watch tapes. He's going to have to talk to the Steels brothers. He's going to have to do things. If he wants to go to that level, that's what he's got to do. You know, even like with Brother Kalai, you know, we're making some progress now. He's going to be working with Pastor Chris, and Pastor Chris is going to be imparting into him worship. And that all derived from, you know, Pastor Chris coming here and seeing a gift in his life. But I'm not trying to put clowns, but it's up to him. It's up to him. It's up to his commitment level. How far, how high do you want to go? It's up to you. And see, that's the thing about the anointing. That's the thing about being appointed. That's the thing about going. It's always up to you at what level you want to accelerate at. It's always up to you because, you know, you can't have, but can I tell you, you can't have a ho-hum attitude of just, you know, if God wants to do it, He'll do it. What are the steps that you're taking to bear fruit? What are the things that you're doing to bear much fruit? What things are and I got to tell you, being around the right people, you know, that speak, that talk. I mean, you know, and why she went to that meeting was because she was hungry for another level. You know, why do I go to Maui three times a year? I'm hungry for the anointing because there are people there that are greater than me. Amen. There are people there that carry a greater anointing. Why do we bring people in here to impart into this church? Because they carry anointings that we want them to impart into you. Evangelists, prophets. Why do we do? Because we want them to impart into you. That we become greater. That we become stronger. That iron sharpens iron. Amen. That iron sharpens iron. You know, be around the right people. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15:33, you know, be fruitful by avoiding bad company. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company ruins good morals. People say, why don't you want to be around that person? I don't want to be. Because of their morals. I don't want to be around a gossip. I don't want to be around somebody that slanders. Why? It doesn't sharpen me. It doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't build me up. I don't leave full of faith. I leave, a lot of times, if it's ministry, it's one thing. But to be in a relationship, I'm around people that, I go play golf with Brother Don. We laugh, we have a good time. There's a sharpening. That's fun. But I'm not going to go around that. I'm not going to go around somebody that in a relationship or friendship that's going to deplete me. So you've got to pay, because what'll happen is you'll leave. Gosh, what's wrong with me? You'll leave with an attitude of like, I feel beat up. I feel whipped. What is this? It's the spirit. Man, we're in a spiritual world. That person's spirit coming over onto you, and you gotta wash that stuff off of you. I'm telling you, that's it. Am I right, Miranda? That's so true, isn't it? Because you've got to be around people of integrity. Don't be around liars. Don't be around thieves. Don't be around people that, be around the right people. Be around strong people. Because you want to talk about bearing fruit. That's what we're talking about. I'm going to be a fruit-bearing Christian. Be around believers. Be around people that believe in faith. You think Miranda and I are going to partner with, people say, well, you guys should join the ministerial association. You should do this and you should do that. My first question, do you pray for the sick? Well, sometimes we, No. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in healings? Do you have altar calls? Well, we don't really do that in our church. Well, we're separated then. You guys see what I'm saying? We're separated by those things. And I'm not against them as a church, but my mind is separate. I love you. Go do God's work. Do the most that you can do for the kingdom of God. But this is where we separate. This is who we are. Amen. Right? I know this is why you guys are here, right? You believe these same things. We preach. We believe. Amen. I don't know. That's it for first service. I don't really have anything else. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand. Guys, I think these topics, and when we move into this year and we're talking about thriving, I feel like that's one of the things I'm praying for and have been praying for, is that God gives Miranda and I, Brother Don, whoever's preaching, Minister Marr, Minister Lee Howe, whoever's sharing word in the house or in a life group, in our men's, that we're giving the nuggets that need to be given right now. Because listen, I believe this, and we said it early on in this year, that if you can leave, going into this year, if you can leave with one or two things that you've really begun to accelerate at, everything can shift for you. Because it's having spiritual goals, there might only be one, two, three things that you need to do better to become stronger in the Lord, but if you do them, man, guess what? You're going higher. That's exactly how I see this year. It's that we're coming higher. I mean, from mountaintop to mountaintop. Hey guys, have there been some battles? Yeah, we've said that. But we're not leaving the place of victory. We're not leaving. We're victorious in Him. This is it. We're victorious in Him. We win. I sing it. I open my mouth. We win. I believe that. Amen. You believe it. You sing it, right? You better believe it if you open your mouth saying, we win, because that's what you're declaring. You understand your declarations, your speech, your declarations are so important before the Lord. We win. We win. Amen. Amen. So I want you to be encouraged. Bear much fruit. Be fruitful. Take these simple things and just evaluate them. Don't leave here and that's a good service. What you've written down, take notes, go back and listen to it. It'll be recorded today. Go back and take these four or five things and say, okay, how can I bear much fruit? How can I be a fruit-bearing Christian? What things, can we just add the one word that separates all of it is the word go. Because it doesn't happen if you do nothing. It doesn't happen if you do nothing. There's a responsibility. The greatest news that I received one time is that I realized that God's not making me do anything and God's given me the ability and He's equipped me to do it. When I got that revelation, I was like, I don't have to sit around and wait on God. There are things I'm waiting on, don't get me wrong, but He wants me to have active faith and He wants me to go after things and He wants me to pursue. If I'm not bearing fruit here, then, can I go over here? Is there another place that I can bear fruit? Amen. Amen. Just bow your heads this morning.